Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together. We work together. We respect each other. We like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar sports byline studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide on WBC-TV. Often imitated but never duplicated, 37 to make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think capitals. Straight up, I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion, and I won some awards from my boxing writers. So supposedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I've got a guy in the studio that knows way more, a lot more than me. I'm talking about Primetime Eddie Crawford, one time a WBC regional champion. We'll talk with Eddie in depth during this hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. I will open up the phone lines as I do at the top of each hour just to give you the chance to drop your line, your name in if you like. 1-800-878-7529. The toll-free once again, 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free no-commitment text line. Some people have been known to call me different names other than Pedro on that text line. You want to text me, you can. Say what you want, but keep it clean. 415-275-1613. The text line once again, 415-275-1613. Ain't nothing stopping us now to the break.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez. It's Saturday
night, and I'm just hanging out. Down to the nightclub. If you got the dough, the liquor will flow. That's what he wrote. It's the truth. No doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into the world of boxing. Coming to you live on Veev TV. Take it back. Delayed on Veev TV. We hope to get a live broadcast going on Veev TV right now. The WBC TV is in its infancy. Of course, we launched it last week at the 59th annual WBC convention in Mexico City. Of course, it was a tremendous success. Pedro wasn't there. Of course, I lied. I told the passport people that I had dying relatives. I mean, COVID had wiped out the entire family. You name it. I tried every excuse I could. The feds were not believing any of my jive. They just weren't going for it. Okay. I even called Dianne Feinstein. I used to guard her when I was a cop. I used to park outside of her house during the Presidio. Park right outside of her house. Richard Blum, I believe, was her husband. He used to come out and wave at us, isn't it? Never offered me any water, coffee, nothing like that. But Mrs. Feinstein, I only saw her a couple times. Anyway, I used to guard her at the Presidio, and I brought this up in the conversation with her aide trying to get me a passport to Mexico City, okay? A last-minute passport. Didn't happen. They said to me, you've got to have, like, paperwork saying she's dying or dead, one or the other. I said to myself, I could probably forward something up, but I ain't got enough time. So I let it go. So bottom line is, next year, the WBC convention will be in Kazakhstan. I will be there without a doubt, and I will have a passport hopefully before then. Now, we go from passports and Mexico City to being in studio with my man, Primetime Eddie Croft, of course, a WBC regional champion, 122 pounds. Primetime, I love having you here because I'm really proud of you as a father and a coach and a community guy and the whole nine yards. Don't take this as me blowing smoke up your skirt or anything like that. I truly am.
Thank you, Paige Ryan. You know what? I really appreciate that coming from you, especially. You know what? We didn't have any angst or anything, in the past. It was something that, you know, you looked at something one way, and I felt like it was another way, and it was okay.
Well, I was a very opinionated journalist. I mean, I wouldn't have won those awards that I won if I'd been a golly gee whiz milquetoast type of guy. You know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. And you know, not only are you a very opinionated journalist, you know, you actually are blunt to the point, and you know, you write for and say things for a little bit of shock value, and it's awesome.
But you have to. I mean, I remember one time I was writing pieces, and I take that back. The high school principal was a drunk, and he had been arrested twice for DUI. And I had the reports. I had the police reports on South City, South San Francisco Police. Tom Gaffney was the principal. So I took the police reports to my journalism teacher, and he said to me, "Yeah, well, you can print them but you got to have big BALLS in order to do this because they're going to be coming after you, man, big time after this." I said, "No, do it anyway." So we did it, and that was sort of like that launched my. As far as like getting in teeth first into things. From that point forward, I haven't been scared. I mean, you know, I remember one time Don King called me on the phone and said to me, he swore for like a minute, 2 minutes to all these mothers and this kind of stuff coming out. And he said, "Is this Pedro?" Yeah. You know, so I've had my fun. So there's been ups and downs. Now, you're training out of B Street Boxing down there in San Mateo, California. B Street's rocking and rolling. You've got the little B Street gym. Tell me about that. I mean, how did you get going? What made you? Most fighters are spitty trainers. When I say spitty on the show, I say spitty instead of the P, it should be an H there, okay? But you know what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
Bottom line is most fighters are spitty trainers. What makes you so different? You're pretty good.
Well, I don't know if you remember how I got into boxing.
Karate.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I started boxing relatively late. I was 17 years old already. But I, you know, I'd been training in martial arts and karate since I was 5 years old. And in the way martial arts schools are structured are, you know, everybody who is a level above, you know, helps the levels below. And, you know, once you become a black belt, you know, you start teaching, you know, after you've been a black belt for a few years. So, you know, I started teaching kids when I was 14 years old, when I was a kid, right? So, I teach kids younger than me. So, I've been teaching kids and teaching people basically how to fight since I've been 14. And so, you know, when I started boxing, you know, I was going back and teaching people at my karate school, you know, what I was learning myself and, you know, what I was not only learning from Johnny in training, but
Johnny,
you know,
Nava.
Yeah, Johnny Nava. But, you know, you obviously as a fighter, you're the one in there. So not only are you taking the advice that your coach is giving you or your trainers are giving you, but your actual experience and the lessons that you're learning, the painful lessons and sometimes the lessons in victory. And, you know, and you listen to other trainers in the gym, right? And you see, you know who has the good fighters and who doesn't, right?
Pretty obvious.
Yeah, it's,
hey, you know, it's funny. I didn't interrupt you, but the old Newman's gym, you know, most of the guys on Newman's gym were opponents. You know that.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
Most of the guys, I mean, like Phil Rancatori, the guy that ran City Cab, he put guys that were like, in pro debuts against guys that were like 24 and zip.
Right.
I mean, and they didn't know. These guys had no idea.
And so, you know, I tell people that all the time about professional boxing. The club level, the club scene, and it's a little different now because it's just not as vibrant as it was in your day. And then in my day, like, so I remember in the 80s, and, you know, in the late 80s, all the way up through maybe the early 90s, there was, you know, a club show every month, right? At least every month. So probably when you were doing it, there was probably two twice a month at least, right? And so there's club shows, you know, one month would be in the city. Usually it'd be like Jimmy Sosa and Jimmy Keith. They'd put on a show. And then
San Jose.
And San Jose would be the next month. Would be, you know, Joe Gallardi.
All right, now that's gone. I mean, right. Gallardi doesn't, believe it or not, Gallardi moved like 2 months ago to Las Vegas.
No, I spoke to him. I saw him.
He's a godfather, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, no, pay-per-view. I mean,
oh, yeah,
closed-circuit television.
Yeah,
when I said it, I mean,
he
controlled the whole country. Him and Johan controlled the whole country on closed-circuit television back when closed-circuit was pay-per-view.
No, I know. That's how he became
billionaire.
Such a wealthy guy, right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I the last time I saw him was in Fresno, and he was managing Andy Ruiz at the time. And, you know, Andy was there. And, you know, and so, yeah, he was doing really, the last time I talked to Jeff Gramoja and everybody too.
Yeah. So, yeah. Joe Gallardi, I talked to him on the phone about a month and a half ago. He says to me, I'm moving to Vegas. My sons are taking me to Vegas, blah, blah, blah. He sounded old. He sounded elderly, but he still sounded, you know, lucid, this and that. But, you know, here was a guy that I remember when Bomani Parker turned professional after the 1984 Olympic trials. He won the Olympic trials. Of course, he went crazy afterwards. But we had the kickoff thing and Joe was there and everything. Like, and Joe was throwing money around, and I said to Joe, "You got so much money, why don't you sponsor my radio show? Put me on." He goes, "You don't have a radio show." I said, "If I had some money, I'd have a radio show." He goes, "I'll give you $4,000. Can you do it with that?" Here we are, 37 years
there
later.
There you go.
From Joe Gallardi's $4,000. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. I got to ask you this. Vasyl Lomachenko is going to take on Richard Comey December 11th in his comeback fight, of course, after the Teofimo Lopez fight. Larry Merchant was on in hour number one. He sort of was dismissive of Lomachenko because of the fact that he hadn't fought enough guys. He said that he didn't do enough. Is he right? Is there merit to what he's saying? Or is this Larry just
Is he talking about it for the totality of his career?
Well, you know, 14-1-1. I think that's 15-1-1, I think, is his career. I think Larry is of the opinion you should have more than 17 fights to be considered like a super elite fighter.
I do agree with that somewhat. I do believe that he was heaped a lot of praise a lot earlier than a lot of fighters would have. But, you know, I mean, he had... He's, you know, arguably the best amateur of all time. So, you know, he deserved and he worked for a lot of that. So, we'll save it.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Towers of the Break this time is real. After the break, we'll come up with some Muhammad Ali quips. Of course, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I had a picture. You got that picture over there? Hand me the picture back. Anyway, I'm giving a primetime Eddie Crawford one of my pictures here of myself and Muhammad Ali. If you'd like one, text me at 415-275-161. That's right. Me and Ali, 1993, and he signed it to Pedro, "Love Muhammad Ali." Guess what? You can look on the internet. You find another picture where he said love. Show it to me. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Pedro Fernandez and primetime Eddie Croft, baby, of B Street Boxing down there in San Mateo, California. Of course, B Street Boxing rocking and rolling. You have programs for kids, adults. Real quick, B Street Boxing, explain it.
I have it all.
I have it all. I love it.
And then I have a group for competitive, both kids and adults. You know, people want to try their hand at fighting.
Should everybody know how to fight? Should the squarest guy in Guya, some doofus guy, some lummox, should he know how to fight?
I don't know about necessarily knowing. Well, yeah, knowing how to defend themselves and knowing how to look. I always tell people, look, it's much easier to not get beat up than actually beat somebody up, right? So
Pepper Joe.
Yeah. But I mean, if you're weaponless, right?
Okay.
You can defend yourself. You can learn to block and move and, you know, throw occasional punches, but in order to really beat somebody up, you have to put yourself out there. You have to it takes a lot more risk, right? So
you have to gamble?
Yeah, a little bit.
You know what Ray Leonard told me when we were sitting in a jacuzzi in 1989? We're in West Palm Beach, Florida for the Hearns fight, training for the Hearns fight, the rematch. And I said to him, "Ray, what makes a great fighter?" And he thought about it. He looked at me. He says, "The willingness to gamble."
Absolutely. I don't know about gambling. Gambling might be not the right
taking
term.
Risk, taking risk,
but a huge risk, right? It because every time you step into the ring, it's a huge risk. You are actually risking your life, right?
Talk to me. Who's the guy you're training that's so hot, the super middleweight?
Evgeny Shevchenko.
We call him the Shiv.
Well, no, we call him Siberian Express.
He's why don't you call him the Shiv? It sounds like a lot easier, the Shiv. The Siberian Express, the Shiv, sounds like he's a killer.
Well, because the Shiv has like prison, you know, it implies prison.
It has negative connotations.
Yeah, my kid has never been to prison.
Okay, so he's unbeaten.
Yep.
You keep telling me he's going to fight this guy.
Well, here it goes. No. So hopefully four times a charm. He's been lined up to fight an IBF title eliminator, and we've had three fights fall through because of COVID.
With?
Huh?
Who are the fights
so with? The first time was this guy, Idos Yabusinoglu, who I don't believe had COVID. I think he pulled out. He actually got a WBA eliminator fight against a much easier opponent, right?
Money, right. And opportunity.
So,
okay,
yeah. So, and then the second time was against Shishkin, who trains over at the Kronk.
But weren't you supposed to fight Callum?
Oh, so he got COVID, and then the third time, Caleb Truax. So Truax, he got COVID, and a guy in his camp. Or one of the coaches in his gym passed away from it. And then, but he's recovered and we re-signed and now we're going to fight January 14th.
On another note, can you believe that people are resisting being vaccinated? I mean, what is the mindset behind that? I mean, I'm in my 60s now. I think you're in your 50s. We've both been through a lot of vaccinations in our life, polio vaccinations, measles vaccinations, things like that. If you take a flu shot every now and then, I mean, why all of a sudden are there so many people in this country that are anti-medicine? Politics?
You know what, Pedro? It's absolutely unexplainable to me. I don't know.
I mean, this is a get out of jail free card, dude, and they won't take it.
Dude, I don't know. And you know what? This is a whole nother like rabbit hole that, you know, that we can't really climb down at this moment.
December 5th, yeah. Isaac Cruz is going to take on Gervonta Davis, taking Raleigh Romero's place.
Yep.
Raleigh Romero, of course, a serial
creeper.
A serial creeper? Yeah, I mean, I guess we can say that, huh?
It's kind of creepy. Yeah.
Is that a creepy?
I mean, if it's true, it's a little creepy.
Well, here's what somebody told me. Oh, it was only one chick. No, there were six.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, when six or seven chicks come forward on you, it's sort of like, you know, the first one. Well, when they're coming from different cities, different zip codes.
And they all sound similar.
Similar, yeah, right, about the same thing. Gervonta Davis can take on Isaac Cruz. Isaac Cruz, formidable foe?
The guy can crack, but he's right there, you know? He's right there in front of you. And, yeah, he cracks, but he gets hit. And see, the thing about Gervonta, yeah, he's there in front of you too, but he doesn't really get hit that much. He's got, you know, he's got pretty good defense and, you know, he's able to block and slip a lot of punches. And man, when he cracks, man, you're feeling it. So
a guy that we've known for a long time, 38 years old now, Nonito Donaire.
Yeah.
Remember, 7-7-07, July 7th, 2007. He knocks out Victor Arcinian.
Yep.
Okay. For the IBF flyweight title. Yep. And Vic wakes up and they said to him, "Hey, Vic, what's it like?" Remember, they asked him, "Hey, Vic, what's it like to be knocked out?" He goes, "I wasn't knocked out. I wasn't even knocked out. What are you talking about?"
Yep.
That's why you don't interview a fighter after you've been drilled.
That you know who else said that?
Who?
Remember Marlon Starling?
Marlon Starling didn't even know what happened.
He said the same thing when he.
Well, that Korean hit him after the belt. Was it the Korean?
No. It was like
Molinaris or one of those guys?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
Tomas Molinaris?
Yeah, I think that's who it was.
Yeah, Listen, hitting after the bell is an art. I mean, some guys can do it and get away with it. For some reason, I've never felt that way, that when the bell rang, it was cool to put your hands down. I never thought it was. It was
no.
Cool. It was cool to pull my hands down when I was out of, you know.
I learned that lesson. The thing is, at a place like Newman's Gym, you learn those lessons, right? Because you're sparring with guys that hate you. It's different. You know, I tell everybody now, boxing is different. You know, we're in a gym. You're in B Street Boxing, guys. And we're all together. We're all the same team, right? So when we're sparring, if we rock somebody, you know, we're gonna pull back and like kind of let him recover. We're not going in
for
the kill. You're
not gonna dig to the body like I would.
No. So like, you know, I tell him, you know, so when I went to Newman's and I was training, you know, everybody knew I came from San Mateo. I had a car. Half these guys didn't, you know
I had a car.
I had money in, like, you know, half the guys that were fighting, they didn't have anything and they hated me, right? So
they're broke.
So every time I sparred, it was like a fight for my life, right? And, you know, I remember after a couple weeks in, you know, cause I had never really sparred like that over and over and over, you know, growing up in karate. I remember a couple weeks in, I was like, man, you either are going to learn fast or you just aren't going to make it in this sport, you know? So I see that actually the accelerated learning, because you just have to fight so hard all the time, right? And
is that a better way to learn than the path that you're teaching right now? Do you think?
Oh, well, see, hold on. That's what I wanted to kind of get into, actually. I learned that because of the super intensity of the training and the sparring, that I either had to learn fast or I was quitting. And I decided that I, you know, wanted to be the best in the world at it, right? So, like, I was, you know, putting a lot of time into studying it and figuring out how it worked, right? So
you and Hector, you guys study boxing. I never studied. It was a physical thing for me. In other words, the mental part was like overcoming somebody physically. Let me change subjects real quick. Tell me about your kids. We never talk about your kids. How many kids you got?
I have five.
Five kids. Busy young man.
Yeah. So, well, my oldest is 27, okay. Alexandria. She was my first. And so when I was fighting, she used to be at all the fights when she was a baby. And then I got remarried. And then I have my oldest son, McLean. He's 14. And then I have a son, Mosley, who I actually named after Sugar Shane Mosley. He's 13. And then I have a daughter, another daughter, Kaya. She's 10. And son Eddie, he's 8.
Okay. So any of them box?
No.
Why is it? Well, here's what's up. You and I come from a boxing background. Mm-hmm. I mean, without a doubt, we're boxing all the way back in martial arts, boxing, combat sports, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't all that. I don't push any of my relatives into it. I never push any. I just didn't. In other words, if you want to do it, you do it. I don't push more. I don't push combat sports on people. You feel me on that?
Yeah. I didn't push. Well, my oldest son, McLean, he's autistic, so I didn't want him to get hit. And Mosley, you know, I wanted him to do it. And I still would want him to try it, even though he's, you know, 12, and it'd be okay time to start. But I mean, he's, you know, trained a little bit here and there, but nothing serious. If he doesn't, you know, I want him to, because I know how much time and dedication it takes, right? So I want him to put that time and dedication to something that he loves.
Hopefully an education.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Wish your family the best. What's the website for B Street Boxing?
It's www.bstreetboxing.com. So B as in boy, street, spell the street out, boxing.
You know what, man? It's always a pleasure. We want to give you a Lifetime Achievement Award at the end of the year, so you got to come back, okay?
Hurry. Right on, Pedro.
All the best.
Thank you,
man. Primetime Eddie Croft, a great father, great community leader, great trainer. Listen, everybody talks so nicely about this guy because he deserves it. Not too many people in the world of boxing deserve it, let alone the people at large in the world. But straight up, Eddie deserves all the props he can get and more. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on WBC TV.
I am the most excited I think I have ever been in my life, just meeting him. Does that mean anything at all? Nothing.
You're just trying to make me feel good.
No, I'm not. I'm really not. No, I have been a fan of yours for a long, long, long time.
Glad to meet you.
It's really nice to meet you, too.
Thank you.
I have no idea what to say. I suppose we could start with... how did you get started boxing? Now, if you find any of these questions stupid, just punch it in the mouth, please. I'll know I'm out of line if you deck it.
Well, that is a stupid question.
Thank you. Sorry, Ed.
I've been asked that so much.
Well,
I thought you were asking me how did I get started wrestling.
Well, let's get to what we're going to.
Boxing is old news. We're in a new field now. We're going to Japan to take on this Antonio Inoki, the world's heavyweight karate wrestling champion. And this is a whole new thing. People have always wondered, well, how would a boxer do with a wrestler? I've always wanted to fight a wrestler. I see them grabbing each other and throwing each other down and twisting each other's arm. And I always say, boy, I could whoop him. All I got to do is hit him real fast and hard and move off of him. And now I'm going to get a chance to do it. And this will be something. I predict this will outsell all of my fights, and I'm the biggest draw in the world. Everybody. And listen, I'm going to play the ropes. We're going 15 rounds, 3-minute rounds. He's allowed to use his bare fists. He's allowed to use karate. No punching in the eyes, no hitting below the belt. If I can grab the ropes when I'm down, he's going to have to turn me loose. And you saw a sample on Wild World of Sports a few days ago where I beat these wrestlers to bloody messes. That's right. And this is what I'm going to get.
Okay.
Plus, he's starting to talk. I better bring a sling and crutches with me. And I don't like fighters or wrestlers who talk too much.
I find this kind of difficult even to imagine. He has been practicing by having people actually kick him in the face.
Yeah, he got 2 or 3 teeth knocked out, I understand, accidentally. And people jumping on his face because he don't do this for wrestling. He's trying to get ready for shock. But the shock that he's taking is not like my punches. And I'm just a little nervous about it, I gotta admit, because if this man should grab my arm or can get behind me and get one of those body snatching or those back breakers on me, I'm in trouble. But I'm counting on my speed and my reflexes, because if I hit him right and he don't fall, then he can do what he wanna do.
Now, what will determine who wins?
Well, the winner of each round, for the rounds of 3 minutes, 2-minute rest, the winner of each round, 2 judges and a referee, will get 5 points. The loser get 4 under, according to Betty Loss. And if he can pin me down any time for the count of 3, he wins the match. He's got to get me down and get me in a position. And if I'm down, I'm allowed to hit up. And if he's down and my knee's on his chest, I'm allowed to get down. It's going to be something.
Sounds like a real
and
funny.
If he throws me out of the ring, which they had got a habit. This gorilla Monzon caught me a few weeks ago. I was playing with a wrestler, and he turned me around and slammed me on the ground. He's allowed to throw me out the ring, and I have 20 seconds to get back in the ring, things like this. It's going to be something. I'm serious. It will be something. Only I could do this. Only boxers that could do it. It was my idea. I saw these guys on television. I got a fellow training me. They might let me bring him on the show. I don't know. To meet him. Freddie Blassie. You heard of him. Freddie Blassie's here. And he's my new trainer. And the reason I got him is because Antonio Inoki, I understand he's taking his fingers. He might, like, grab my head and take his fingers and try to hit me in the eyes or kick me in the lower parts of my body. He might try anything. Well, Freddie Blassie wrote the book on dirt. Blassie wrote the book on dirt. And I had to tell my people to find me the dirtiest wrestler. I said, Gorgeous George is not him, Dick the Bruiser, Freddie Blassie. I said, get Freddie Blassie, and Freddie Blassie will be in my corner. And plus, he talks a lot. He's arrogant. He's pretty. Got his white hair dyed. And he's something. Me and him together, Japan will not be ready.
Freddie,
Muhammad Ali getting ready for, of course, for Antonio Inoki, a guy that I met a couple of times, of course, spent some time around Ali as well. This fight, this wrestling match, as far as whatever you want to call it, exhibition, it took time off of Muhammad Ali's legs because he got kicked in the legs over and over again. And somebody told me, his legs bled. He had internal bleeding. In other words, he was getting kicked so much and so often in those legs by Inoki that his legs eventually did bleed later that night. So from inside, that's pretty crazy. But the bottom line is Muhammad Ali thought he would make a lot of money. He thought it would be a Gorgeous George type of thing. It didn't work out that well. They made a bunch of money, but the damage he took just wasn't worth it. Of course, now let's talk about boxing. Straight up, we've got December 4th and December 5th, of course, coming up. And December 5th is going to be Gervonta Davis against Isaac Cruz. Like Eddie Cross said, Isaac Cruz, maybe he's right there to get hit. And Gervonta Davis hits very, very hard. And until you can hit Davis and hurt him, I don't think you can beat him. So that fight's going to go down. Of course, that's going to be on the Zone, I believe. Jaime Munguia, impressive last week. I discussed a couple texts on that one. Gabriel Rosado's a tough guy, and I thought the fight went according to the scorecards are very wide, but that didn't mean Rosado wasn't in almost every round. In other words, it's sort of weird. In other words, you saw the 118-110 scorecards, like 10-2 in rounds. You say to yourself, well, that was a one-sided fight. Yes, on the scorecards, but not in reality, because Rosado was making him work for that. And Munguia had to work for it, no doubt about that. Of course, David Benavidez, the heir apparent to Canelo Alvarez, or is he? Of course, the guy with two left feet. Can't dance too well. But then again, Canelo had footwork issues when he fought Floyd Mayweather back in the day, a long, long time ago. So when you're young and you're green, you can have issues like that, but you've got to correct them. And I think that in order for David Benavidez to be a legitimate threat outside of his punching power and the fact that he punches hard and he punches in combination. See, he throws three or four, boom, 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 boom. And those are telling shots he throws. Not the hardest shots in the world, but they're telling shots. There's no doubt about it. Of course, the young man that he fought last week, Kyron Davis, came in at the last minute, couple weeks, 10-day notice, took an ass-whooping very admirably. He didn't quit, no doubt about that. And whatever he got paid, it just wasn't enough. But David Benavidez being the heir apparent to Canelo Alvarez, the jury's still out on him, no doubt about that. Now, Kiko Martinez pulled off the upset of the week last, of course, knocking out Keith Galahad for that. I think it was the IBF 130-pound title that took place across the pond. Of course, Canelo and Caleb Plant, that was like the fight of the year thus far. Or was it? I mean, think about this. Canelo is a fighter that we all look to as far as the pound-for-pound king is concerned. And people are going to take note. People are taking issues with the fact now he's going to fight the cruiserweight champion at 190 pounds, Magudu. Whatever his name is, the WBC champion, 190 pounds, making him take off 10 pounds. But, you know, when Ray Leonard fought Donnie Lalonde, they fought at 168 pounds for the 168 and 175-pound titles. They fought for both belts. When you have these catchweight fights involving big-name fighters coming down in weight or moving up in weight, most of the time there's catchweights involved. When there's catchweights involved, that usually means there's a lot of money involved, a lot of money, a lot of money. So, you know, Canelo's going to make a fortune in Mexico. He's going to be able to fight in front of his Mexican people. And I think he'll come away with the cruiserweight title. Am I impressed with the cruiserweight champion overall? Not really. He might not be the greatest cruiserweight in the planet as far as the cruiserweight's concerned. I mean, let's just be real. I mean, there's other guys that want at 200 pounds that can fight as well. But we'll see what happens. Will Canelo hold on to a title at 190 pounds or 200 pounds? No, he's going back to 168. Terrence Crawford, of course, I'm getting some texts here last night. They gave Crawford a B+ for Crawford's performance last night. Two people, couple of texts here. As far as Demetrius Andrade is concerned, he can hook it up with Charlo. He can hook it up with the 160-pound Charlo and see what happens there. And then the winner can step up and show some cojones and take on Canelo Alvarez. Listen, the money's with Canelo. I still think Andre Ward, the 2004 Olympic gold medalist, former 168-pound champion, undisputed, no doubt about that. And then he went to he won that Super 6 tournament. Then he went to 175, had the controversial fight, the draw with Sergey Kovalev, and then, of course, he came back and he stopped Kovalev in the rematch. So, and then he retired, and he said, I'm done. But, you know, he's in the gym. I'm getting the word that Andre Ward is in the gym. I live in San Francisco. He lives in Marin County, used to live in Oakland. Now he's training in Hayward, California. That's where Virgil Hunter's gym is. And I'm told he's in there training. And, you know, he's looking like he's training to me. So there's only one reason in the world that Andre Ward would even be contemplating a rematch, I mean a comeback, and that would be a multi-million dollar fight with Canelo Alvarez. Could it raise like 35 or 40 million bucks? Yes. Would Canelo take the fight? Yes. Would Canelo call different conditions in? Yes. There's no doubt about it. This fight would be at 168 pounds. And I think that they would make it so Ward wouldn't have a tune-up fight in advance. That's the way you would do it. You know, you want to come back, fight me right away. No tune-up fights. Want to do it right now? Let's do it right now. I think if I was Canelo and I was calling the shots, I think that's the way I would go. As far as Andre Ward is concerned, you know, he's undefeated. I mean, he's undefeated. And he never lost a fight in his entire life, folks. I kid you not. The one amateur loss that he faced that he took in King's Gym over in Oakland, California, Marsha King called me on the phone, the late gym owner, the late wife of gym owner, Mr. King over there, Charles King. She told me, he said, Andre got robbed. Andre. She goes, you know, the young kid I've been telling you about, blah, 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 the nicest kid in the world, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he got robbed. Now they got robbed. Anyway, so that was the only time he ever lost. And he got robbed. The only time he ever lost in his life. Of course, when he won the Olympic gold medal in 2004, Gary Radnich of Channel 4, KRON TV, called me on the air, I think at KNBR, called me out, said, I was shilling because I said he was going to win the gold medal at 178 pounds, even though he was a 165-pounder. Of course, he gave up his spot at 165 pounds on the Olympic team in 2004 in order to give it to the other Andre Durrell, one of the Durrell brothers, okay? So anyway, he gives Durrell, I think Durrell got a bronze. Anyway, he gives Durrell the option at 165. He goes to 178. He fights guys that are much, much, much bigger than him, okay? And he pounds them like salt. And he wins the Olympic gold medal. So he comes home. I mean, he comes home the son of God. He really was. I mean, he's not a phony guy. When he does the God thing, he's legit about that stuff. When he doesn't swear, he's legit about that stuff. When he doesn't do drugs or he doesn't drink, he's legit about that stuff. I mean, I've never heard anything derogatory about Andre Ward. And like I've known him almost his entire life, his entire boxing life. And I've never heard a derogatory word said about him except for the fact that he kicked my ass. I'm talking about me, but other guys that he beat up on it. Because, you know, when he lights you up, you get lit up. I mean, he was a complete package at 168, 175 pounds. Maybe not so, but going back to 168 and fighting Canelo Alvarez for all the marbles, and maybe making 35 or 40 million bucks, man, that's more money than he ever made in his entire life career combined put together. I mean, I would have to estimate he's made less than $12 million as a professional. I would think that. I would think that Andre Ward made less than, not that I'm saying that's not a lot of money, but I would think that he made less than $12 to $15 million as a pro. So if he took a fight with Canelo Alvarez for $45 or $50 million, or whatever it was, or if they split the gate or whatever, however it was negotiated, that would be the biggest purse of his life without a doubt. You are tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide on WBC TV. Of course, my grades on Demetrius Andrade Friday night, he took the guy out inside the distance. Give him his credit. I mean, I knock him for his style and sometimes his mouth, but the bottom line is he's still undefeated, 31 and zip, the kid from Massachusetts. You are tuned to Ring Talk. Oh, and Tim Tszyu won. Tim Tszyu beat up Inoue, one of the Inouyes, Takeshi Inoue from Japan. Obviously, that was November 17th down under, but Tim Tszyu, not the real deal. His father could fight, Tim can't. You are tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide on WBC TV.
What's getting bad? Cause I could never make you unhappy. No, I couldn't do that, girl. Only wish I didn't love you so. Makes it so, so very hard to know.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.
This is Lenny Williams' latest tune, Broken Hearts and all that kind of good stuff. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, next week, the world lightweight champion, at least he considered himself the world lightweight champion. Ring Magazine considers himself the champion at 135. I'm talking about Teofimo Lopez. Of course, 16 and zip now, I think 12 KOs, coming off that stunning upset win over Vasyl Lomachenko. It was about 6, 7, 8 months ago, maybe a year ago. It seems like, God, an eternity. But the bottom line is he was supposed to fight George Kambosos, the kid from Australia, not once, not twice, but like 6 times. And they canceled it 6 times. So it's going to go the 7th time, November the 27th on DAZN. What am I trying to tell you? There is a chance to see the, quote, undisputed lightweight champion in action on DAZN. Now, is he undisputed? I talked about this with somebody I consider a boxing expert of sorts, and he and I went back and forth about being undisputed. Yeah, you can win the undisputed title, but to be undisputed, you need to go back there and win all those belts again. And I think he's right. I really think he's right. I think you just can't win this, the one fight against Vasyl Lomachenko was getting long in the tooth, and you beat him on an off night. Now you're the lightweight champion. And bottom line is, Teofimo's talked a lot of smack. I mean, there's Devin Haney out there. There's Ryan Garcia out there. And everybody knows there's Gervonta Davis out there, okay? Of course, he's going to fight on December the 5th, and that's going to be against Isaac Pitbull Cruz. Good luck, Mr. Cruz, on that one, because you've got to hurt Gervonta in order to beat him, and I don't know if you've got the pop to hurt him. I mean, you'll go for it. There's no doubt about it, but I expect Davis to win. Devin Haney? I don't know. Devin Haney, what can I say, man? Your father controls your career. Another father involved in a career. I don't know if that's a good thing. I've talked about that in the past. In fact, I think there's a WBC rule that says the lead second cannot, or a father or blood relative like the father or the mother cannot be in a corner. If that's, I'm going to ask Mauricio about that, but if that's true, I think that's a great rule. Anyway, don't forget the WBC and their website, WBCBoxing.com. My name is Pedro Fernandez. I thank you so much for tuning in to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC TV. This is like our first or second show on Veev TV. I wish you the very best. Don't forget, every Saturday and Sunday, we come to you live on iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. I can keep going, but the bottom line is, you always catch the audio at sportsbyline.com. Until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect. Veev TV rocks!